If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeartRadio.
Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome, fremder, étranger, stranger. Glücklich zu sehen, je suis enchanté. Happy to see you, bleibe rest des day. Hello and willkommen to Tossed Popcorn. I'm Liana Holston.
And I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And this is Tossed Popcorn, the top podcast where two idiots watch every film on the AFI's 100 greatest American movies of all time, the very slightly less racist 10th anniversary edition.
Forget everything. This podcast is a safe space for people who don't know anything about movies. Today, we're watching Cabaret!
Who's there?
Hunger!
Oh, hunger!
Number 63 on the AFI list. Warning, there will be spoilers about this risque old film.
Yeah. Content warning, we'll be talking about Nazi Germany and anti-Semitism.
Liana.
Yeah.
Willkommen.
Ah, guten Tag. Danke.
I can already read your vibe all over your face. So let's do our prediction.
Yeah.
Guten Abend. It's Liana. I'm about to watch Cabaret. I have seen this before.
Oh?
I studied it when I took a Germany and the World Wars class in college.
That's
I
cool.
I know many, 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 many of the songs.
Mm.
And I predict
like three songs.
There aren't that many.
Good time, minus I know a dog gets killed in this
movie. That was sad.
And that's some fucked up Nazi shit. And also, I don't think they do the best take on being gay.
Oh.
Love you. Bye. It had been a while.
Okay.
Since I'd seen it.
Yeah.
But I also think that's kind of correct.
Yeah. That's probably not wrong.
Sienna, let's hear your prediction for Cabaret.
Okay.
Hi, Liana. It's Sienna. I'm about to watch Cabaret. I saw this musical in college one time.
Whoa. Live?
And my friend was really good in it. And besides that, it was like, I don't know, there were like German.
Oh, right.
There's like a German guy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the plot remember being the focal point, if you know what I mean.
But yes.
So, yeah, we're going to see how it is. But I did hear that Liza Minnelli might be in this version.
Oh, yeah.
And for that reason, sign me up 1,000 times.
Yay!
I am looking forward to it.
Yay!
All right, I'll see you on the other side. I love you. Goodbye.
Uh-huh. I'm just now recalling the Stanford Theater Department's production of Cabaret.
Did you see it? I think it was my senior year.
It was after my time, but I remember seeing the photos of it.
Yes.
And like, interesting.
College students are excited to do this musical.
They are so thrilled. It's the Chicago...
Yeah.
It's the, you know, we are all being very sexy. You have to watch.
Anytime we're theater kids are like, we're going to wear very skimpy yeah. and tight clothing.
Here's my entire ass. You can see most holes.
And we're like, we all know you're a nerd. It's not fooling anybody.
That would be a fascinating introduction to the world
yeah.
of cabaret.
We'll get to my current take on it mm-hmm. when we get to phone notes. But
yeah.
first...
Yeah.
I'd like to attempt a summary.
Please.
I know what happened, but I'm afraid that this just sounds bad. Because there's just like a way to mess this up.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is a summary of Cabaret. Berlin, 1931.
Yeah.
Sally Bowles, played by Liza Minnelli,
woo!
Is a flighty and spirited cabaret performer. She meets Brian, a British bisexual who moves into her boarding house and who is bisexual. They kick off a friendship and then a romance and then sort of a thruple thing with a rich guy, all of which happens against the grim and looming backdrop of gradually Nazifying Germany.
Never heard that verb.
I looked it up. It is a verb.
Nazification of Germany.
It is.
Mm.
This is not the best sentence ever, but it is what happened.
It is what happened. It's true.
Yes.
Well done. Yeah, that is the film.
Yes. And I think the best way to sort of flesh out this...
And there was a lot of flesh.
This summary is by hearing the historical context.
Ja, danke and willkommen to the historical context for Cabaret, the 1972 movie musical. Cabaret 1972 is loosely based on the 1966 Broadway musical of the same title, but it's actually more based on a semi-autobiographical novel called Goodbye to Berlin from 1939 by a British writer called Christopher Isherwood, who in 1929 moved to Berlin to sort of be openly gay in the nightlife of Berlin. Isherwood shared lodgings with a British singer named Jean Ross, who was the daughter of a wealthy Anglo-Scottish family and dreamt of being an actress. Sound familiar? And there was a wealthy playboy who sexually pursued them both.
Wow.
It's like very heavily based on this thing. Also, Jean Ross got a near-fatal abortion in the late 20s in Berlin. And in the novel, and I think in their lives, both Jean Ross and Christopher Isherwood fled Germany and returned to England around 1933 or so. The movie was directed and choreographed by Bob Fosse.
Yeah, baby!
Yay.
Fosse!
Ooh! Famous for his very specific style of dance. We gotta get a little...
In my mind, this is perfect.
This is Sienna demonstrating Fosse.
Getting a lot of shoulder. And then they do a lot of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh! Fosse famously choreographed Pippin, the 1970s Broadway show.
Yes.
It's just very, very iconic, very recognizable movement. And he choreographed this film.
Angles.
The movie Cabaret was filmed in West Germany.
Wow.
Which gave me pause. I was like, oh shit, that's right. Like, Jesus. Because even, you know, 30 years after the war,
yeah,
Germany was still divided between West and East Germany. And that would be the case for many decades. And Cabaret was released just 3 years after the Stonewall riots. So this kind of places it
wow
in the world of the time, you know, like
yeah,
a lot of characters in the film are queer in some way, and it's like more hinted at than explicitly depicted, but still very like
very present,
very present, pretty ahead of its time for one of those movies. And it just, you know, given that it was just 3 years after those riots, was like pretty early on in the gay liberation movement. It was rated X in Britain and it was rated PG in America.
Take so that, funny. Britain.
Yeah, Britain.
Like, this is very, very risky. They very risque.
British. They were so British about it. Liza Minnelli, baby.
Liza.
Liza, whoa. She is the daughter of Judy Garland and Vincente Minnelli, who was a famous Hollywood director. Her first film appearance was as a baby.
Yes, that baby is a star.
She was born for the screen and the stage. And it was like at the end scene of one of her mom's films. She was the baby.
Cute.
So from the earliest of ages, she was destined for showbiz. And that's all the time we have to spend on Liza Minnelli, because we have to talk about the Weimar Republic. The Weimar Republic of Germany was from, it was a period of time in German history from 1918 to 1933. So the interwar period. There are many parts missing to this summary, but here is a little bit of a timeline of what the Weimar Republic looked like, starting from the end of World War I, leading up to kind of the period of time that we see in the movie, Cabaret. In 1919, the Treaty of Versailles was ratified, which was the treaty that was written up at the end of World War I, where the Allies were like, you have to pay for what you've done, Germany. You were bad, and we were punching you.
No.
And it actually was like kind of stupid because they punched them like so hard.
Right.
Okay, a few things that happened from the Treaty of Versailles. Germany lost 1/10 of their pre-war territory and population. Alsace-Lorraine went from Germany to France. They lost their colonies. They lost 75% of their iron ore reserves, which at that time was like very crucial, important ore. And the army, the German army, was reduced to 100,000 men.
Right.
There was a bit of a civil war in the first 4 years of the new republic. From 1919 to 1923, there was a lot of unrest because obviously Germany was just like trying to get its shit together after this insane period of war. In 1923, something called the Ruhr Crisis, R-U-H-R, happened, in which Germany fell behind on payments that it owed from the Treaty of Versailles to, I think, France mainly as reparations. Hyperinflation became a huge issue in Germany itself. The, I guess, town or province of Ruhr provided 85% of coal to Germany. And somehow it was like not accessible anymore or something happened. But it was like very bad news bears that Germany was like lost Ruhr to France, I think is what happened. They had to like give that province to France, or France was allowed to occupy it for a period of time. The hyperinflation thing was so bad that money was used as wallpaper, as kindling. People had to make payments by the wagon load because there was just so much goddamn cash floating around. And again, this was 1923. A lot of people in Germany blamed Jewish people, financiers, and banks for this crisis and for the hyperinflation. So again, anti-Semitism had been rampant before. Right. It would be rampant going forward. And it was also just like an undercurrent pretty constantly, not just in Germany. That's not a unique to Germany thing, but just to kind of put that into perspective. I believe it's pronounced putches or putches, which is just like kind of a violent uprising. Putches and coups were seen as ways to cause change effectively because in a few different towns, like paramilitary groups had violently uprisen and actually won a little bit. And so there was just a trend of violence that was starting to become apparent as like an effective way to cause change if you want it.
Oh, okay.
In 1924, something called the Dawes Plan was enacted, which was sort of helped by America. I know this is a lot of like complex political stuff.
Interesting.
But it lent a bit of stability at last to Germany because it revised the reparations that Germany owed in the Treaty of Versailles to try and ease the crisis, ease the financial crisis. And as a result of that, nightlife, art, theater, music, opera, culture bloomed in response to this gloomy period directly post-war. The Potsdamer Platz, which is a plaza in Berlin, became the most trafficked crossroads in Europe. Tons of artists, tons of very young people from across Europe were coming to Berlin to just enter this hub of culture and of exciting, I don't know, not really a renaissance, but kind of a renaissance.
Yeah.
But for a lot of Germans outside of Berlin, Berlin was not Germany. So there was a big dissonance in terms of like people living in the city of Berlin itself and like loving the nightlife, loving the culture, the cabaret, all of that stuff, those sort of bohemian characters we see in the movie versus people who were living elsewhere in Germany, kind of like perceiving slowly and like supporting a little bit the rise of fascism that was being seen throughout the country.
Yeah.
Which we see in the movie as well. Okay, by 1928, there was a period of time in which Germany had a hyper-democracy, which meant that like 41 parties ran in the election that year. So it was nuts. And there was just like no real unity. Everybody was just so like fractured post-war. And many of these political parties had very, very extreme beliefs. Many of them on the right, some of them also on the left. Around this time as well, paramilitaries, including something called the Freikorps, were like causing pogroms, were being sort of strategically placed at rallies and at demonstrations as like thugs who were just inciting violence around the country. The crash of 1929, the stock market crash, we've talked about it before, impacted the global economy, including Germany, and Germany entered a depression. And then by 1930, which is 1 year before Cabaret takes place, something called Article 48 was enacted, which meant that the president of Germany, President Paul von Hindenburg, was allowed to declare a state of emergency, and it actually made him more of a dictator than a president. So it somehow just gave him a lot more power. The Reichstag, which was German parliament, had pretty much become ungovernable at that point because of like the rise of the Nazi party. Mm. There was one election, it was somewhere around 1930, maybe 1931 or two, where the Nazi party got like 37% of the German vote, which is like not the majority, but also given that there were so many goddamn political parties,
yeah.
It was like starting to become clear that the Nazi party was becoming a quote unquote like big tent political party.
Right.
Which
a lot of
I think a lot of Germany was looking for because they were like, there's no unity here. Like nobody's like coming together under one big umbrella to identify under politically. In 1932, there were three elections in 1 year. So we're starting to see like a lot of political instability in Germany, or a lot more than we've been seeing. And just like clearly nothing's like getting settled. Hitler ran twice in those elections and lost twice in those elections. But he, by January 30th of 1933, had convinced President Paul von Hindenburg to appoint him, Hitler, Chancellor of Germany, which at the time was not that powerful of a position. But on March 23rd of 1933, the Enabling Act was enacted, which meant that the German cabinet, specifically the chancellor, could make laws without the involvement of the Reichstag or of President Hindenburg. So that's essentially what gave Hitler like his first completely powerful position in the German government. Yeah. That was March 23rd of 1933. And by May of 1933, the book burnings had started. So it was a somewhat quick rise, a somewhat slow burn at the same time of the Nazi party in Germany. And again, Cabaret starts in 1931 in Berlin. So we're seeing like just a year and a half out from Hitler like fully taking over the government. And that's also why by the end of Cabaret, because time has passed, we're seeing like Brian is like fleeing back to England, but Sally chooses to stay.
Yeah.
And that is the end of the historical context.
Woo!
Oh man, sorry. I know that was a lot.
No, it is a historical film.
Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. We have to take an ad break. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level.
Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Thank you for that eye-opening historical context.
You're welcome. Bitter.
Well, Liana, shall we jump into our phone notes?
We simply must. Must Fosse slide, which is not a move. Right into
cabaret. It's cabaret. It's cabaret.
Yes. Okay, welcome everybody to Phone Notes, in which we look at the notes that the other person took on their phone while watching this movie. I am so curious to hear what you thought of this film.
I loved it.
Really?
I loved
it. You did? Oh my God!
I was mesmerized. I had to remind myself to take phone notes because I was just like, I was engrossed. I was just enjoying it. It was a film I enjoyed.
Oh, yay!
Yay! The music part, maybe because there were fewer songs than the thing itself, yeah. And it wasn't college students doing it.
You have written, this is so much less annoying than a college production, which makes so much sense.
And I'm so sorry for anybody who was maybe in that production, who is
that's
currently
that's
listening.
100% a correct stance. Everybody who was in a college production of anything where you were like, look how sexy we are, you should know. You should absolutely be aware. That's annoying.
This is going to sound so dumb, but I really enjoyed the cabaret part. Just like them performing on stage.
Yeah.
That was what didn't translate as much for me in a stage production. Like, I think that this worked really well as a movie.
Yeah.
Well, because also, I was just like, oh, I want to attend this theatrical event that they're putting on.
Yeah.
This is so fun and cutting edge.
Yes. I read that Fosse decided to keep all of the songs in the Kit Kat Club in the movie.
Oh.
But in the musical, they're much less diegetic. It's like much more normally a musical where the character's like, I have to sing. I'm feeling so many emotions. I must sing.
That's
But in this one, they're all staged.
They're performances.
Except
that's so
the one
interesting.
Song
I really liked that.
Hitler Youth. Oh, Sienna, familiar. You've also written, okay, freaks, hello.
Jam-packed with freaks is the movie Cabaret.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I loved everyone we saw on stage.
Yay.
They were, like, spunky and haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it.
Yeah, and I also feel like something that separates this movie from, like, an annoying college production is that the people in the movie were not trying to be hot.
Yes.
They weren't afraid to be, like, a little bit ugly and a little bit spooky.
Yeah. They were just, like, throwing their legs places.
Yeah. And... yeah. Bye. Bye, mein liebe Herr. Farewell, mein liebe Herr.
Is that when she's in her classic outfit?
The vest, the bowler hat.
Yeah.
The sailor woman is in the chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh! So I've watched that. I was doing the choreography to it on my couch. Like, that's how much I've watched it.
Yeah, what is that your favorite song from it?
I love that one. I love Maybe as well, but Maybe This Time.
Oh, yeah. Maybe This Time.
But that one is so not overdone. It's just
basic.
Like everybody sings
it was on
that
Glee.
Song.
Yeah.
They did it on Glee. They did it on Schitt's Creek. Like, come on. And you can't really sing it in your apartment because it's so loud.
Yeah. It's
so
a
loud
song.
I have to be in the car to sing it. I haven't yet been in my car and sung it yet, but I will. It's going to happen.
Liana, you have so well, you've summed up what I was trying to say earlier so well. This film invented throwing ass. They were tossing their asses here and there.
With such control.
They're bouncing against the walls. The control. You
the core strength.
You know core control is in my badges.
To talk about the core strength.
Unbelievable. Fosse requires maximum amounts of core strength because they have to put anything at any angle at any time.
They planked on chairs.
It was crazy.
It was amazing.
The things they were doing with their legs. Oh. Very bar class. Okay, and now's the time we can tell. This is the appropriate time to tell the listeners we both work at a bar studio. Liana's the general manager. She brought her friends in. I work at the desk there.
Shouts out to Pure Bar Hollywood. The first class is free for LA residents. If you'd ever like to come check it out.
I recently told a friend about it who listens to the pod, and she was pissed that we have never mentioned on the podcast that that's something that we also do with our time.
But now we are officially letting you all know that we both work at a bar studio. Yeah.
Liana, as a former dancer, me as someone who'd never done bar, I've done it like four times now. It's great. It's fun.
It's a good workout. And it works all the muscles that you can tell they have.
They have them.
In cabaret. Everyone had those muscles.
They were throwing their legs up behind them. And they had to hold it for minutes at a time.
It was incredible.
They had to be singing at the same time. I mean, it was so impressive.
It's just so fun to watch people do a good job.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Liana, you've said, if I ever have a breakdown, I'm going to get this haircut.
Her haircut was so specific.
It looked like it would make you so hot. Physically very warm.
I didn't think about that at all.
It's all I could think about. My forehead, I mean, you know, with the bangs of it all.
Sure.
But my forehead, very sensitive and very sensitive to temperature.
I didn't know that about you.
It's something I don't share often.
Thank you for being vulnerable.
If I had a thick bowl of hair pointed downward.
I just couldn't understand how she got it to do that.
With the pointy sideburns, pointy widow's peak.
The little.
I mean, it looked great.
Because I just really feel like if you're going to have a breakdown, you got to really commit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is an incredible style to get. I mean, as cries for help go.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Oh, this is interesting. Liana, you've said, I love Sally, but I bet in real life she would be so annoying.
Right. I loved to watch her from a distance. I was like, God, what a silly, what a woman.
What a woman.
What a woman. She contains multitudes. I mean, I think Liza did a great job of acting this role.
Liza.
Thank you. Where you can see, I mean, there's just such a natural sadness in her eyes, but she's so effervescent throughout the film, which is so such a fun dichotomy to watch.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. But hanging out with Sally Bowles for 2 minutes, I would kill her.
She's, I hate to say it, a bit of a guy's girl. She was hanging out with guys the whole time. When she was
you're so right.
When she was in the back of the car, like flopping over on both of them, I was like, I would never.
It'd be so annoying.
Flop onto two men.
If you are at the back of a car.
You are in the back of a car.
And you
flanked by two men who you are having, who you are screwing.
Which, first of all, inappropriate.
What was it called? Boomson?
Boomsoning?
Boomson.
Yeah.
Who you are boomsoning.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just a different type of existence then.
That's also, we never see her do what we did see Christina Aguilera do in the film Burlesque, which is hang out backstage with her girlies.
Yeah.
We don't see that.
No. She's jealous of the one lady. She's also always the star when she walks into a room, which is never like, that person is fun to know, but you can't really be close with them.
Yep. She's always on.
Yeah.
Performing. I left the movie, as I always do, a little confused.
Of course, that's natural.
Yeah, Sally Bowles is such a, you can clearly tell she like hyperbolizes things and makes, maybe fully fabricates stories, but particularly the whole thing with her father. I was like, is he completely made up? Is he dead? Is he just like a random dude from Idaho?
Is he
actually this person who's like a world traveler and is too busy for her?
Right.
It was all, and I think maybe that's, you know, they maintain that air of mystery on purpose a little bit, but that, and then the scene where she was having dinner at Max's like estate home with like the very wealthy people and being like, oh, didn't we meet last time? Oh, I love this person. Oh, you don't know them. I was like, oh, I think she's just fully like performing, but also lying.
Yes.
I don't know. It's interesting because you never really see that other shoe drop. Like, there's not really ever consequences to her lying, which I guess is later conveyed through Brian being like, nobody takes you seriously. Like, you're as fatal as an after-dinner mint,
which was
an incredible and
deeply devastating line. But I guess it's just like, she doesn't, which is incredibly sad. Like, she doesn't matter enough to anyone for anyone to be like, stop lying.
To actually care.
Like, we know that you're lying.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Frig.
That is sad.
Yeah.
I don't think I really even noticed her saying any of that stuff. I don't know what this is about me. No, I do. I guess that's how I watch movies.
You'd been mesmerized by the cabaret.
I was mesmerized.
They razzle-dazzled
you. Well, I think I was just being razzle-dazzled at that point. I don't think I took that in. I loved Liza's eyelashes also.
What? I wrote a note about them somewhere.
I guess we have to assume those eyelashes are fake, but wouldn't it be amazing if they were real? Why don't you write more notes like that?
What do you mean? Oh, whoa. What the hell does that mean?
Like, dreamy. Like, what if? Oh, to be in a world in which...
I'm off my meds. I have hope once more.
If those were real, could you imagine?
I don't often write whimsical things. You are right. But imagine if those eyelashes, if someone hopped out the womb with eyelashes like Sally Bowles in the film Cabaret.
I didn't even let myself think about them being real. I didn't even let myself sit with that.
You were too dazzled. I don't think you like had a thought during this movie.
Wow.
Which is
commentary. I wrote the word mesmerized a lot.
Oh my gosh, Sienna. This is so funny and fucked up. You've said, man, daddy issues could be such an amazing motivator. Thanks for nothing, dad.
She wanted...
Put that in your stand.
She was like, I'm going to be the best actress. Mm-hmm. I am going to be the best. And he will see. I'll show him. I'm going to show him.
He'll love me.
I wish I had any like, I'm going to show you, dad. I'm going to make the best podcast. But I could make a mediocre podcast and my dad would be like, that sounded great, Sienna.
I feel like we've got so many other issues. We don't also need to welcome that into our lives. But maybe there's a way that we can sort of manufacture daddy issues for you.
Okay.
To motivate you.
Yeah.
Maybe I can be your daddy.
Finally, this podcast is taking the turn I was hoping it was. We're finally going to make a profit. We're going places, baby. This was earlier, but I'm gonna say it.
Please.
You said, if I ever put a man's hand on my boob and he said it's a little early in the day for this, I would kill myself. There's a few things he said where it was like, dude, I know that you're like questioning your sexuality and that is fair, but you are saying the wrong thing.
Sally also says the wrong thing. I think this is what I sort of was remembering when in my prediction, I was like, I'm not sure it's 100% nails what being gay is. Because, like, she harasses him.
Yeah, big time.
By, like, coming on to him and putting his hand on her boob. And then he's like, it's a bit early. And then she's basically like, are you gay? Legally, you have to tell me if you're gay.
You've written, Sally, if you are gay, then legally you have to tell me. Bowles.
And that is basically her reaction.
Yeah.
She's like, well, do you sleep with women?
Yeah.
Do you? She like yeets him out of the closet.
And I'm glad that it seems like they were both happy with it. He's a bisexual man.
Right.
Their kiss when they did finally like.
It's hard because I think that montage is so sweet when she's singing Maybe This Time. But also it's like the montage of them getting together. And
yeah.
Just, like, being cute. I was like. Eh.
It was sweet.
It was nice.
They had like a sweet friendship and stuff too.
Yeah.
I liked them together. I thought they made sense as a partnership. They did.
I
liked
them a lot. I'll say it. I loved Max.
Really?
Uh-huh. You've described him as a strange suitor with a milk mustache enters the laundromat. True.
He had a milk mustache. Okay. His mustache was not the color that hair is supposed to be.
It was so white.
It was very got milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he was an early campaigner.
You loved Max? Why did you love Max? Max is the rich playboy.
Max is the rich, I guess, baron is his title in the film. And he just had sexual tension with everybody he came into contact with. But him and Brian in particular, I was like, please kiss.
Never have I so strongly wanted people to like have a three-way. Did you feel this as well?
Please search threesome in my notes.
You said, do they have a threesome in this movie? I feel like they do. And then later you say, screw Maximilian, I do, so do I, which is an insanely epic moment. And you've said, okay, not a threesome, but I called it.
I did call it. And they basically have a threesome. They almost do a little three-way kiss in their little dancing scene.
When they almost do their little three-way kiss, I was like, I want them to do that.
I know. And normally when people three-way kiss, I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
This is, you're doing usually, this for somebody else normally.
Oh my, that's exactly what I was going to say. It usually feels very like, you know, self-consciously like, oh, we're going to do something sexy and crazy. But this, I was like, you are all attracted to each other.
Uh-huh.
And this is working.
Uh-huh.
Go for it.
I've never seen the chemistry that those three had together.
Yeah.
I've never seen a setup for a three-way kiss before and been like, do it. But in this one, I was like,
this made me understand polyamory. It made, I am no longer oppressing that group.
Wait a second.
Maybe this time I'll get lucky. Maybe this time it'll not be an advert that's a train PSA.
Are we doing them?
Sometimes. Actually, that's probably some of the best ones.
Toot toot.
We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
I also noticed when she went to bed with a full face of makeup.
That was crazy.
She wears so much makeup. I mean, she is like powdering her face like Marie Antoinette. Like it is a white face.
And the eyeshadow, there's so much of it.
It's like over the eyebrow almost. Yeah. It's all very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Kind
Which I
of
love.
Drag. I loved it.
But unsustainable if you're going to sleep in that every night.
I mean, girl.
I was worried.
I was very concerned for her. Mm. I mean, the eyelashes alone.
Oh.
But she, you know.
Maybe she was born with those. And wouldn't that be incredible?
Maybe. Do you think all of her makeup was just natural?
Maybe it's Sally Bowles.
With the bluest eyelids.
Mm-hmm.
The bluest eyebrow skin. Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Very woke, Liana said, yes, bitch, kick the Nazi flag.
That's not woke. That's just the correct stance.
Woke?
No.
That's not a hot new take. Nazis have been terrible the whole time.
I'm not.
I loved when Brian went off on those Nazi propagandists in the plaza. Yeah. He did get beat up for it immediately afterwards, which sucked.
No, that was awesome.
To kick over the Nazi flag, it was just, it was a bit of catharsis because you do want to see that the whole time. You're like, somebody please punch a Nazi.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, like there were a lot of moments that felt like what we're seeing happen in our country.
Yeah.
And it is cathartic to just watch people be angry about something bad happening. Yeah.
What was so terrifying and well done in the movie is like anytime you see somebody standing up to a Nazi, you then see them immediately getting beat up or punished in some
way. Right, yeah, yeah.
And then by the end.
Oh, the ending. Liana, you said, this ending shot chills. And then you said, I'll be honest, I still don't 100% get it.
And that is about the film generally. The ending shot, very clear. I understand.
It was so, it was like a horror reveal.
It was so good. Yeah. And it's like, that's, you have to end it that way because it was just so well done.
So earlier in the movie, we had seen not the audience, but like a reflection against the wall. Or
the opening shot, it's some sort of, it's not a tuba, but it's like the audience reflected in some sort of some textured mirror.
Yeah. And it was an audience Nazi-free at the time. And in fact, they'd kicked a Nazi out earlier on. Mm-hmm. And by the end, slowly we had been, the Nazi party had been more and more present throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, they're performing. And what song were they performing?
It's kind of a reprise of Willkommen.
Yeah.
The opening number.
And they pan over to that same mirrored glass and we see several Nazis in the audience.
Oh my God.
With the swastika on their arm.
And it's right after the MC is doing that little monologue of like, you forgot about your troubles, didn't you, while you were in here?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do here at the cabaret. And then they pan over and it's full of Nazis.
It's crazy. Also, they'd done a few performances that were standing up to them.
Yeah. Yes.
Liana, shall we move on?
Yeah.
To badges and trages, where we give badges.
For bowls.
For bowls.
Come with Sally.
And trages.
This gets harder every week. Maybe we should just go back to badges for things that we think the movie did well. And trages for, you know, the rise of fascism.
Yeah.
A badge for Joel Grey. I wrote this down before I even started the film.
Who's that?
He plays the MC.
Oh my gosh, he was so good.
So good.
He was amazing.
Wow.
And that lipstick was so pointy and wonderful on him.
It's wonderful.
It was a wonderful. What,
oh my God, speaking of wonderful, you're not going to care about this. Joel Grey originated the role of the wizard in Wicked.
Oh.
And he performs a song in Wicked called Wonderful.
Oh my gosh. I have a badge for a group of ladies in hats.
Oh.
I mean, we don't get that often.
Women in hats.
Come on.
I have a badge for the costumer who got these hats to stay on.
Oh my gosh.
Because those women were putting their heads upside down.
A real badge for bobby pins, I suppose.
Oh.
Because they were doing work. I have a badge for freaks. There were freaks here. There were freaks there. Fosse himself is a freak.
True. As we learned from Fosse Verdon, the short series, which I didn't watch. Badge for this enormous glass he's drinking out of. When Brian first goes to the Kit Kat Club, they serve him a beverage in just a massive bowl of a glass.
It was so large, and every time he sipped out of it, I went...
I said, oh, this poor boy. This glass is too big for him.
It made his ears look bigger.
Oh. Well... something for men to think about then.
I have a badge for, as we said, core control.
Oh, badge for Oxford University.
Oh, badge for lashes.
Oh,
unbelievable lashes. They were out of this world.
Badge for kicking a Nazi out of your establishment.
Yes. Badge for a protagonist who hunches her shoulders.
Oh, yes.
Representation.
Oh. Badge for just the hats in this movie. All of them were so good. Not just in the cabaret, but everybody's hats.
Very good hats. My next badge is for gay. But at some point I wrote that.
Ally?
I'm going to do something slightly different.
It's not a badge, though. Because the portrayal was pretty revolutionary.
And out of all the movies that we see on this list,
compared to like Midnight Cowboy in terms of portraying the queer community. That's really true.
Yes. It was very like, a lot of queer representation and just general acceptance.
And freedom.
Within the, Okay, I'll keep it.
A badge for this lighting. The lighting at the end of Maybe This Time when Sally is backlit and she sticks her arms out and the beams of light kind of spread around her.
Beams.
Very good.
I have a badge for Sally's nail polish.
Mm.
It was a very interesting green.
Shocking.
Stayed pristine the whole time.
Yeah. My final badge is for, God damn it, I'm gonna have a baby. Screamed in a library. Perfect.
Badge for cute. I think I wrote that when they were doing their little, they're falling in love. It was cute.
I don't know how they did that in a way where it was like, we both thought it was cute and not annoying or creepy. Yeah.
A lot of this stuff just felt sort of authentic and adult.
Yeah.
Because it was so accepting and there was a lot of freedom. I think it was clear everybody was consenting and they also had pretty healthy conversations when they did talk about stuff. Badge for beautiful nature. When they went to the country, there were a few shots of
Germany is very beautiful.
It was really pretty.
German forests.
There was just so much going on in this movie. Like, you know, they had this like very mesmerizing and vibrant city life. And then when they did go to the country, though, I was really astonished by how gorgeous it was. A badge for her abortions was the right decision for her.
The way that your body
her abortion,
abortion?
A badge for I was when and it's horrible that it was very difficult in real life, but she gets an abortion and it's clear that it's just the right decision for her life. Like she just she made a decision about her pregnancy and her body and anyway, it's not like that's the kind of thing that's represented a lot in this.
Not at all.
I think the only time, or in on this list, I think the only other time we saw it was The Godfather Part 2.
Oh, Jesus. This marriage is an abortion.
When the marriage is an abortion, she gets slapped, and then everybody says it was her best movie. So this...
And that was the sequel to the movie that beat this one for Best Picture. Such bullshit.
And then finally, badge for chilling ending.
Mm.
I wrote chills, too.
God, so good.
It was a really... It felt like an amazing horror reveal. Like it really worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very, very moving.
Mm.
Trages.
Trage for, not actually Oxford University. He's actually from Cambridge.
Boo. I have a trage for, there was some discomfort around the pounce thing.
Yes. there, before she's like, and then I also wanted to.
Yeah.
There's a moment where we're like, I don't think she wanted to.
I hated it. I was slapping him to get off of me. He was forcing himself. And you're like,
But then it turned out, I loved it. And I was like, okay.
It's just, that's exactly what trages are for.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
You're like, tragic. Ooh.
I can't believe you just said it. That's exactly what trages are for. Because I've said a trage for Nazis.
My next trage is for Nazis?
Yeah, a trage for Nazis.
Yeah.
Which is not the film's fault.
No.
A trage for everyone's eyebrows. This is not the eyebrow for me.
Hmm.
So thin.
Yeah.
So arched.
Oh.
To the point that I was like, were these actors' eyebrows okay after this film?
Yeah.
Did they ever recover?
Hmm.
It's hard to know.
Hmm.
Where were Liza's actual eyebrows? We'll never know the answer to that.
Great question.
Can't be found. Nowhere to be seen. A trage for the Hitler Youth.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
God, Tomorrow Belongs to Me is such a scary song to watch.
100%.
And my final trage is a trage for Sorry, but I am really actually very scared that the Nazis are going to come back into power. It was pretty haunting watching this a week before the election.
Totally. I agree with that. It was a haunting thing to watch right now.
Yeah.
Well, Liana.
Yes.
Shall we move on to our next segment? Let's fossy over to how to pretend you've seen this film.
Oh, this is for...
You are at a a nightclub.
Yeah, you're sitting down at a sort of a dinner theater.
Yeah.
And you are looking at the menu. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-drink minimum, unfortunately. And you're like, oh my God, it's like $40 down the drain. Jesus Christ. So you're trying to find a drink that's maybe a Coca-Cola.
And you look over and...
Maximilian.
And you look over and Maximilian is sitting in his seat. Very good core strength, but his legs are upward. He has one arm sort of over in an L position and the other one down. Very angular.
Yeah.
And he just sort of presents himself in a fussy.
He fussies at you.
And you go, oh! Ah! But in your surprise, he starts speaking. He starts speaking at you.
Uh-huh.
He starts performing.
Welcome and bienvenue. Welcome to my conversation.
I come here every night. I love to perform to any unassuming person who walks through the door and looks like they've never seen my favorite film before, which of course is Cabaret. I can't wait to tell you every single thing about it.
And in order to stop Max from fussying you to death,
mm-hmm.
we're going to give you a few sentences you can say to pretend you've seen the film Cabaret. Here's my problem. I would love it if someone brought it.
I know. I was going to say, a man who did that, I would be like,
a problem.
Okay.
I've never seen a man do that ever.
But here's the thing is we already love it. And he's going to try to explain it to us.
Yeah. He's and like, we're so like, actually the end shot is actually like to tell you that Nazis were there. Yeah. It's like, no, I know.
I get it.
I knew that from the fact that there were Nazis there.
Yeah. yes, Maximilian, I have seen Cabaret. One thing about it that I found very haunting was the accepting energy and the freedom within the theater of the cabaret and the oppression and the freedoms that were gradually going to be restricted outside of the theater in Germany.
Yes, Max, I've seen Cabaret, and it's funny, on the way here I was saying to myself, maybe this time... I won't be spoken to by a man.
Maybe this time he'll go. Yes, Maximilian, I've seen Cabaret, and funny enough, Liza Minnelli's character, Sally Bowles, is actually supposed to be bad at singing and dancing, but Liza Minnelli's just so talented, it really didn't come off that way. She's so talented, she did a bad job.
Maximilian, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now because I'm here with my friends. Oh, who are they? Two ladies.
Two ladies. Yes, Maximilian, I have seen this film. One of the most pro-threesome movies I've ever seen.
He's got a real glint in his eye at that point. And you say, no, Max, no.
No.
I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong idea, and we must cut off contact. I bid you farewell. Bye, mine lieber Herr. Farewell, mine lieber Herr. It was a fine affair, but now it's over.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That song is so good.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's fun. And speaking of fun...
You have now driven Maximilian away by screaming fun in his face after
fled to Argentina.
After performing the entirety of Cabaret.
Oh my gosh,
at
I
him.
Would do it. Mine hair. We're now going to let you know if we think you should watch this movie or if you should do something else with your time. This is, of course, our segment. Should you watch this
or?
Gosh. Okay.
This is interesting.
I'm going to say, should you watch this and?
Okay. Whoa.
New. Exciting.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you should watch Cabaret. It's great. Everybody in it is great.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good. And then what you should do is you should watch, and I'm going to make you watch this after this, you should watch Amy Lennox's performance of the song Cabaret as performed at the Olivier Awards in 2022, because she really captures the Sally Bowles of the stage production, where she's like completely shattered and sort of her nerves are totally frayed and she's like having a breakdown during the song.
Wow.
And it is so good. And I think it's a better performance of what that song I think is supposed to communicate, especially given that Sally Bowles chooses to stay in Berlin and not flee.
Right.
Which is insane. But also just shows like how intentionally unaware of the world yeah. she is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you should watch Amy Lennox's performance of Cabaret from the musical Cabaret
wow.
at the Olivier Awards. Sienna, what would you say?
I'm going to do, should you watch this butt?
Oh! You should watch this butt.
I also think this is a really fun movie that you. I was mesmerized.
That's right.
I enjoyed it a lot. I don't think it had too much music. I don't think, like, whereas we were bored for a lot of West Side Story.
True.
A lot of it's like them staring and there's some songs you're like, eh, it doesn't hit.
Yeah.
They were giving it their all for everything in this. And it's all a little bit dirty, which for me is a lot more watchable mm-hmm. than if everything's squeaky clean.
Yeah.
But what you could also do as the holidays approach.
Oh.
There is an Eloise holiday animated movie.
Oh.
I don't remember what it's called, but... There's a little opening song that goes, Eloise, that's me. Eloise, nah, nah. So I also don't know the words to that.
Okay.
And you could just watch some fun Eloise content this holiday season in honor of Liza herself.
Liza.
All right. Liana, what would you rate Cabaret?
I would give this film... 4.5 eyelashes
okay.
out of 5. I think it is so good. I think the performances in it are so compelling and well done. I think the cinematography, very good.
Yeah, it was very, mm-hmm. I'll say it, dynamic.
For some reason, it's not a 5 out of 5. I think it's just so, and this is not the movie's fault, it's just so hauntingly prescient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's from 50 years ago about something that is from 90 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's terrifyingly.
Yeah.
Immediate.
Totally.
And they kill a dog.
I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 pointy lipsticks.
Mm.
I didn't understand everything they were saying.
Sure.
Yeah. And for that reason,
that part too, yeah.
I can't say 100% because I can't honestly, I didn't decipher enough of it for me to give it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was really enjoyable. It was a very watchable film.
Yeah.
Which a lot of these... We can't say that about.
I've left the room for most of these. It's crazy that this is 63 on the list. It's so far down.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Oh my gosh. It was really good and really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, auf Wiedersehen. A biento. This has been Toss Popcorn's review of Cabaret. Thank you everyone so much for listening. If you'd like more content from us, we are on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, actually, for real. We're doing it.
We did it.
We have done it, and we will continue to do it. Oh, if you like this podcast, please write us a little 5-star review. It continues to make a big difference.
We love them.
Yeah.
We read them.
We do. And join us next week when we'll be watching...
Network.
What?
What?
Comma The Social?
1976.
No!
Thank you.
Oh, we love you.
Bye.
Bye. My
Lee. Oh, no.
Farewell, my
Help me. The podcast, the episode's over. There's no reason for her to stop.
It was a fine air.
Wow.
Open air, made it fair. I have no cause to doubt you, mine hair.
You can find us on Instagram as @SiennaJekyll and @LianaHolston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.
Oh my God.
What?
You're in my Google Doc as Anonymous Walrus.
Tusk. Tusk is trying to razzle dazzle me.
Imagine if you get razzle dazzled by Tusk.
No, I don't want to be.
What would that even look like?
No!
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.